Desiree. Okay. Hey, this is Cherry Lane Genoway calling to order the February 7th, 2022 special meeting of the Orange County Senior Citizens Advisory Council. This meeting is being recorded. And we will begin with an inspiration from Carolyn Inman, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance by Elizabeth Busick. If everyone else could please mute themselves.
I don't know about you, but this weekend I've been watching a lot of Olympics, and I'm amazed, as always, at the dedication, the hard work, the goal setting, the ability and desire to meet those goals and all the hard work it takes to do that. That includes the 15-year-old girl who was the first woman in the Olympics to do a quad. Now, I kind of know what that is because I watched her do it, but it's just an amazing, amazing feat. But I see in our volunteers, in our group, the same kind of goal setting and hard work and dedication and commitment to what we think is important. And it's amazing to work with a group of people that can set goals and does set goals and works to achieve them. And today is a perfect example of that as we go into the meeting where we're going to figure out what the Board of Supervisors might be able, if we talk to them and persuade them perhaps, to help seniors in our community. The word synergy is one that I've loved ever since I heard it decades ago. And that is that individuals alone are very capable and make good decisions and all of that stuff. But if you get them together and we listen to each other, and the synergy of all of us put together is so much more powerful than anything that we might do individually. So I salute that. We're making a difference in our communities. And you inspire me, and we inspire each other. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn. Elizabeth?
Okay. For this Pledge of Allegiance, if everybody will please stand. Okay, let us begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, individual, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you, Elizabeth. Okay, now Elizabeth will take roll. If everybody could please unmute yourself. And then once you've responded, you can go back and mute yourself. Thank you.
All right. Charlene Ashendorf.
Present.
Linda Barcelona. Denise Barnes.
Present.
Elizabeth Busick. Present. Amelia Castro.
Present.
When I talked to you, Meredith Chalimi, she will be coming late. She has a meeting. Susan Robop. Susan Dobok.
Susan's not able to attend today.
Okay. Carol Downey.
Present.
Elaine Genoway.
Present.
Jean Hernandez.
Okay.
Carolyn Inman.
Present.
Carolyn Inman, I know you're here.
Present.
Okay. Jim Levy.
Present.
Yeah, although I didn't want to get here also. And secondly, I didn't want to sit for half an hour and then just run in and do something. So,
Elizabeth, who did you just call?
I just finished Jim Levy, but there was all this talking in the background.
Yeah.
Present.
All right. Irene Martinez.
Irene is no longer a member.
Oh, okay. Nalita Mendoza. Crystal Miles, she can't attend, she has to work. Carol Moore. Patty Mouton.
Present.
Joni Nichols.
Present.
But it seems
like my connection is really bad. I'm
Bill Orman is absent.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, if you've already responded, please mute yourself. We're getting a lot of background noise.
Cherry Lane, unfortunately, Dave, it's your computer that's bringing the background noise. I keep muting you and you unmute, but if you don't mind, I will mute you. And then when you're called, you can unmute yourself, please.
Yeah, no, I will. I'll bring it when I come tomorrow afternoon.
Okay. John Pointer.
Here, Elizabeth.
All right. Tony Rodella. Tony,
he's here.
Here. Okay. Amina Sin Matthews. Barbara Sloat. Sandy Stang.
Present.
Dave Sullivan. I know, Dave, you're here.
I see him.
Oh, okay, all right, thank you. Dave Tetzloff.
Present.
Cynthia Thacker.
Here.
Jeffrey Rodriguez.
Present.
And Evelyn Velez.
Present.
All right, we have-
And I see Barbara Sloat just joined us.
Oh, okay.
I'm present.
All right, thank you. So we have a quorum.
Okay, thank you, Elizabeth. Okay, we are now on to item number 5 on our agenda, and that is AB 361, review and make findings required by Government Code subsection 54953E3. Is there a motion to recommend that we continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of emergency arising from COVID-19? Meeting in person presents imminent risks to the health and safety attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person.
I so move.
Second.
By Elizabeth, seconded by Jim Levy. Any discussion? Seeing none. Desiree, could you please take a roll call vote?
Charlene Ashendorf?
Yes.
Linda Barcelona? Denise Barnes?
Yes.
Elizabeth Busick?
Yes.
Amelia Castro?
Yes.
Meredith Chalemi? Susan Doback? Carol Downey?
Yes.
Elaine Genoway?
Yes.
Jean Hernandez, Carolyn Inman, Jim Levy.
Yes.
Nalita Mendoza, Crystal Miles, Carol Moore, Patty Mouton.
Yes.
Joni Nichols.
Yes.
Bill Orlan, John Pointer.
Yes.
Tony Rodella.
Aye.
Amina Sin Matthews. Barbara Sloat. Sandy Stang.
Yes.
Dave Sullivan.
Yes.
Dave Tetzloff.
Yes.
Cynthia Thacker. Jeffrey Rodriguez.
Yes.
Evelyn Velez.
Yes.
And that is a majority.
Sorry, I'm talking away and you're not hearing me. Maybe that's a good thing. I said motion passes. We've approved that recommendation. Now we are on to introductions. We do have some visitors to our meeting today who will actually be leading our breakout groups. And you all know Erica Danzak and Desiree Gonzalez, but some other members of the Office on Aging on staff. And if you can just wave, we'll break into our groups later, but so people can see who you are. We have Farah Lolis, Jenna Sergio, and Christina Diaz. So thank you for being with us today. So now we are into the February workshop. The first thing we're going to have, kind of get our juices going, our creative thoughts, and also to start communicating, is our icebreaker. So I don't know, Eric, if you want to lead the icebreaker, if you want me to kick it off.
You can kick it off, sure, no problem. It was your idea.
Okay, well, this is just a really simple icebreaker, something you didn't have to prepare for, and also something for you to think of some good thoughts. And that is thinking about the last year, what was your highlight? What was the one occasion that you really enjoyed or others around you enjoyed? And what would you say was a highlight for the year? And I'll start off just as an example. I think one of the things that was a highlight for my year was the Laguna Niguel Holiday Parade. So it was a lot of fun. We canceled the parade the previous year due to COVID, but we have the parade this year. And I'll tell you, it seemed like there were more people on the parade route. More of our residents came down to watch the parade. Our parade goes down Crown Valley Parkway. So everyone kind of filters down in and you know, brings their chairs or blankets and sits along Crown Valley Parkway. And it was a lot of fun. There were more people out there. And that's what I experienced on parade day. But then later we had our youth committee meeting, and our youth committee are 15 high school students appointed by the city council. And they usually are in the parade, but this year, because we were a little short on volunteers, they were in the parade and they also had volunteer roles. And to hear those high school students talk about their experience this year and getting to see the parade from both sides of it, both being in it and being behind the scenes working, it really was a very enriching experience for them. So that was my highlight, the holiday parade. And I will just go around the screen. Next, I have Carolyn Inman. You're muted.
Well, I was gonna say getting the 2200 iPads, but you made it something outside of the committee, so I will too. The highlight of my year was beginning to take part in the South Orange County Community College District Board of Trustees. It was exciting at the end of the year before to get elected, but it was way more important to actually start to do the work. And I had wanted to do that for a long time. I actually ran in 2008 and almost won. And then when the incumbent did totally retire and go away, then I was there and I got it. And it's just so, I'm just such an advocate of community college. And I know that Lucy Dunn, among many, many others in the business community, said that our way back from the economic trouble that we're in, that's kind of too broad, but the workforce is what I'm talking about, that the community colleges will definitely be the one of the most important things. We have something like 97 programs. You know, everybody says you don't transfer enough. Well, we do transfer a lot of people, but there's 96 other things that we do as well. So it's important to the community and to the people involved, and I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Fantastic. Okay, Dave, well, Dave left his screen, so we'll go on to Evelyn.
How can I make myself disappear?
No.
Good job, Dave. Well, this is just strictly personal. For me, the greatest thing was being able to start dancing again this past year. We have been, my partner and I have been dancing for the last 12 years competitively, and it's just wonderful to be able to see our community again and to be out there.
Good to hear that. Dave. Dave Tetzlaff. Unmute yourself, please.
The reason I disappeared is I was finding my highlight. Can't see it, I guess. I am holding a bottle of wine that we call Tri-State Wine Cellars. And it was an opportunity to get together with friends that we've known for 20, 30 years. And we made and bottled our own wine. They live out in Arizona and they got all the ingredients together. And so we have met them twice now in Arizona. And over the last 2 years, that's the only place we've traveled out of state. And I guarantee you that the next time we have a meeting face-to-face, if you like, I can bring some of my own wine and we can share. So.
That sounds good, Dave. We will enjoy that. Hopefully it'll be a meeting. Maybe we'll have the wine after the meeting.
It's got to age a couple more months.
Okay. Okay. Thanks. Elizabeth.
Yes. This is a personal thing. I was honored by the city of Mission Viejo to be on the wall of recognition. There was a ceremony and then a dinner, and this was September 1st. And I never expected I would ever be on that. I was on the committee for choosing it in the past every year, but I wasn't on the committee this past year. And but this is for all the work I have done, volunteer work for the city of Mission Viejo. And
well, that was a very well-deserved recognition, Elizabeth.
Thank you. I was shocked, but it meant a lot to me. And then the following week, September 7th, 8th, I had my appendectomy. And so for 6 months, I was recovering. And now I'm back to normal again.
Right. We're glad to hear that.
Wonderful to be a human being once more.
Okay. I don't know if Office on Aging staff wants to go. I don't want to put you on the spot. So you can either say yes or say pass. Desiree?
Just a really quick highlight for me was being able to, I completed my master's program at Cal State Fullerton, and we didn't know whether we were going to be able to walk for graduation, and we did. So that was the highlight of my year, because it was the only thing that kept me going through the program was being able to walk. So that was extremely exciting and special, and have my children there was amazing. So that was my highlight.
Well, fantastic.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We're very proud of you and very happy for you. Okay, Sandy.
Sorry, I had to unmute. Similar to your story, Lake Forest usually has a wonderful 4th of July parade. And this last year, they decided to cancel it due to COVID. So it's kind of, and we always have a senior float, which I really like. So this year, the neighbors just got together and did an informal, and they got some senior classic cars and different things. And we put together just a little teeny tiny parade just to recognize the day, because everyone was so disappointed. And happy to announce that we're going to have our real parade again this year, and we'll have our senior float.
Great. Yeah. Parades bring out the community. That's fantastic.
Yes.
Christina.
Hi, good morning. My name is Christina, and I'm with the Office on Aging. And I'll share one personal highlight for last year. We bought a house and did some construction. And during that construction, we lived at home because of COVID. And so it was kind of challenging, but we are happy that we are in our new home.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Jim.
I guess the highlight of my year was having family who I haven't seen for a long time. My son from Boston, my granddaughter from Pittsburgh, and a very, very close friend from Washington come to my special birthday. That was my highlight.
Well, good. Glad you got to celebrate with those who mean a lot to you. Okay, Tony.
Me?
Tony Rodella, yes.
Yes. I think the best thing happened last year was I went to watch my granddaughter down at San Diego graduate from the Top Gun fighter pilot school. The important thing is she said she was deployed, or she's already deployed to somewhere in the far, I don't know, maybe Afghanistan or whatever that thing happening in Russia, the things. That's the scary part. But last year, watching her graduate, that was very, very happy.
Yeah, that's quite an achievement for your family. I know the service runs in your family. So thank you and thank her for her service. Sarah.
Hi, everyone.
Oh, Sarah, okay.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello, everyone. It's nice to see everyone again. I'd like to share my highlight. I think it's pretty similar to Christina's. We bought a home as well. So it was pretty exciting, given the times that we live in. It wasn't the easiest thing to do, but we did it. So we're happy.
Great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Carol Downey.
Yeah, this year, for the first time in 3 years, all three of my grandsons got to be together for Christmas. One's in the Navy on the East Coast, and one is in school out of state, and then one lives here. So it was difficult for the past several years to get all together. But this year, we were able to do it. And it was the first time they've been together for 4 years. And it was really a good time.
Wow, that's great. Charlene.
Thank you, Chair. Well, for me, the highlight was after our Costa Mesa Senior Center was closed for 10 months of the year, we were able to organize and host a first ever art affair at our senior center outdoors. The featured artist was a Costa Mesa senior citizen who is also a Native American. So it occurred during Native American month. We had over 50 people outdoors celebrating with special foods. And the artist was thrilled to be able to be a part of that community. So it was really exciting to be out there and have us all together again.
Yeah, no, that does sound like an exciting event, and also to highlight people in your own community. That's great.
Thank you.
Okay. John Pointer.
Sorry, struggling with the mute button. Good morning, everybody. I've got two things I'd like to share with you. One, the most important, I celebrated my 45th wedding anniversary this year in October. So fantastic. Number two, I hope in 2022, CSL and perhaps county AAAs as well can look at the increasing incidence of scams impacting seniors. The financial aspect of it is unbelievable. I have been drawn into one. The executive director for CSL has been drawn into one. And I think Shirley Crome was also a victim of these scams. They're getting extremely sophisticated. They took my picture off of the CSL website and created a Facebook message and conveyed to those people receiving the message that I was endorsing a program, a grant, in which $300,000 was available to anybody that would apply. Well, there is no such thing, but that's just one example. They took Janice's picture off of the Facebook page and created yet another scam, implying that Janice was asking for money as a result of the fires in Northern California. So the degree of sophistication is just mind-boggling nowadays. I'm blown away. If these people actually were put to work constructively within the economy, no kidding what they might be able to improve things. But just an FYI, I'm not sure where we're going with this yet, but I continue to try and take a look at this, and I'll come back to you periodically through the Ledge Committee to let you know where we're going.
Yeah, you know, that is something we should all take notice of, because yourself and those that you named, you're all very astute individuals. And I just think about our more vulnerable population.
Exactly.
And how it can harm them. And we need to protect them. So
exactly.
Denise.
Exactly. Exactly. Thanks, Elaine. I agree 100%. Thank you.
With that being said, John, I want to thank you so much for all that you do for CSL. There's quite a lot of balls juggling in the air with that. One of the best things that I appreciated last year was being a part of the Meals on Wheels OC, actually showing up at the community center and offering them our materials about the iPads, about COVID tests, about areas where seniors could actually go and get tested across the county. I enjoyed handing out protein bars or other actual meals through Bracken Kitchen and Chick-fil-A, Pizza Hut, taking those down to the center. I have a very good resource, but the joy to see them every Thursday morning was just so sweet. And I've already had three men ask me to marry them, but I said no. it's just a pleasure to see people week after week and enjoy their company. And when they're not there, then you try to find out what's going on. But I have a lot of vets from Korean War, and also a couple left from World War II. I'm just so blessed to see them, encourage them, support them, and brag about the Office on Aging. Thank you.
Well, thank you for doing that, Denise. Hey, Dave Sullivan.
It was a very sad occasion that brought the meeting on, but all my children and grandchildren and their spouses got together, and was a very special time remembering a very special person. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad you had that time with your family. Jeff.
Yeah, mine started at the very start of the year, January 6th. My oldest son got married. So that started us off on a good way.
Yeah, that's fun, expanding the family. Barbara.
Well, mine is personal too. For the first time since the pandemic, my entire family gathered together in Portland for the wedding of the oldest of my nine grandchildren, a wedding that was postponed from last year, a year ago, 2 years ago. And it was just really a great occasion to. I have four children and they have spouses, and as I said, nine grandchildren. So it was the first time we were together in a long time.
Wow. It's a nice celebration. Good. Patty.
Oh, wonderful.
You're muted, Patty.
Sorry. I have two things to really celebrate. One is in December, I was able to get Disneyland tickets. And so my daughter and granddaughter came over from Phoenix. And with the pandemic, it's been really hard to get together. So we did something that most Southern Californians don't do. And we had like a fantasy weekend at the Disneyland Hotel. And it was just really fun, because when grandchildren get to be teenagers, sometimes they're not as interested in grandma. So it was fun. And I'm in school and I'm about ready to graduate. And I passed the hardest class of my entire life, a research methods with lots of statistics, and it was painful and excruciating, but I got an A on the final, and so I passed. So I am eternally grateful for good tutors and perseverance.
Thank you. That all sounds great. And I know I enjoy seeing your adventures on Facebook. Cynthia.
Well, you know, I suffered a loss with the passing of my 99 and a half. She always put the half on there when it was pliable of my mom. But what really came out of it was I had a great celebration for it and my friends that came, of course, a lot of her friends had passed already. So to see the friends and support and the wonderful just love and support that they gave me during a very difficult time for me. So I just always want to say I love my friends and thank you for being friends and everybody for their support. So thank you.
Thanks. Friends are the most important, one of the most important things in life to help us through different times.
Well, especially when I don't even have a real big family. So it was really.
They are your family, your friends.
Yeah, they are my family now. So thank you.
Jetta.
Hi, good morning, everyone. So my highlight for 2021 was my oldest daughter graduated from high school, and she was also able to have an in-person ceremony, which was exciting because we were unsure about that, and she started Cal State Long Beach.
Great. Congrats.
Thank you.
Hey, Amelia.
My highlight was that my 17-year-old son got his private pilot license, and I bought an airplane last year. So it's fun because it's something that we enjoy together now. Wow. So I'm also a pilot.
That is exciting. Okay. And I think we will wrap it up with Erica.
Everyone, good morning. It's great to hear all the highlights and think in a very positive direction. So I think back on 2021, there were a lot of personal and professional highlights. My husband had a big birthday and we had family in town that we hadn't seen in a while. But one of the things that comes to mind is I know some of you know that my son plays baseball, travel baseball. And last summer, his team was invited to play in a tournament in Salt Lake City, Utah. And there was some downtime in between games and we got to sightsee. And one of the things we did was go up to Park City and tour the Olympic Village, which is pretty timely given that the Winter Olympics are on right now. But it was just fascinating. One of those bucket list things that I had never seen before, but to see the Olympic trainers and the bobsled track in action and everything was really, really neat experience. So, something I won't forget.
Good. Glad you had that. Okay, so now we are on to the breakout session. So I'll let Erica take over from here.
Sure. So this is the discussion portion of our workshop where we break into small groups. All of those small group assignments were already sent out. So hopefully you got a copy. And once we say go, Desiree is going to hit the button and we'll automatically be placed in our small group discussions. And then we'll have about 20 minutes to have our discussion. And then after that, Desiree will click another button and we'll all come back together into the main meeting and have our report outs of what we talked about in our small groups. We do have facilitators assigned to each of the small groups. I will be taking one group. We have Christina Diaz from the Office on Aging facilitating another group. Farah Lawless is facilitating a group. Jenna Sergio and Desiree Gonzalez. So they will be our facilitators to just keep the time and make sure that we're sticking to the discussion topic and staying within our 20 minutes. Once we get into small groups, you'll want to assign a note taker. And that person will be responsible for reporting out when we reconvene into the main group again. And what we're asking each of the breakout groups to discuss during your 20-minute session is to identify the top pressing needs of OC seniors under each of the 5 Master Plan for Aging goals. So again, as a reminder, and our facilitators have this in front of them, so you don't need to memorize it, but Just as a refresher, goal number one is housing for all ages and stages. Number two would be health reimagined. Three is inclusion, equity, not isolation. Four is caregiving that works. And five is affording aging. So if your small group just identifies one pressing need under each of those five goals, that will have been a success. You probably want to come at it from the perspective of your standing committee and the things that you have been working on in your standing committee. The breakout groups should be a combination of members from different standing committees so that you have those different perspectives. And just something to keep in mind, when you settle on a pressing issue and a recommendation that this is going to go before the Board of Supervisors, try and stick with things that the Board of Supervisors actually has control over, right? Things that would impact seniors locally here in Orange County, and that there are actually things that the Board of Supervisors can have influence over or make an impact. Even if it's just a support role, that's fine. But we want to stick with things that the board actually has control over. Anything that I'm missing, Elaine?
No, I think it's just important to keep in mind it's what the Board of Supervisors has control over, and to try to identify the goals in line with the Master Plan on Aging. So I think that's good. I'm glad to see that a few more members have joined us. I was texting with Erica because some of the groups have gotten kind of small, but I see we have a couple more members added. So I think we're ready to go.
Okay. Desiree, are you comfortable working your magic? Okay.
So, and then after our groups, we will reconvene. So don't leave.
Can I add, I just had a call. Can I add that Joni Nichols is in Guadalajara and lost all her Wi-Fi.
Okay, yeah, I see her coming in and out of the meetings.
So. Yeah, okay. She just wanted you to know that.
Okay, thank you, Barbara. Yeah, we weren't aware of that, so thank you.
Yeah.
I believe everybody has to accept the meeting. A few people have gone to their meeting rooms.
Are you sending us something to accept? I don't see it yet.
Okay, let me try.
Looks like some people have accepted, so they've gone.
It might, if you're not on a computer, I don't know if it looks a little differently, but I'll try and manually send everybody to their rooms.
That sounded funny.
Yeah.
Send us to our rooms.
I haven't heard that for decades.
You haven't misbehaved.
With or without breakfast.
I haven't received anything, Desiree.
I'm manually doing it at this point, so it'll take me a minute to get everybody.
There's nothing that we need to do, right?
If you're not seeing a request to join your group, then I'll probably have to manually do it. Some people were able to do it that way, but I don't know if it's just a matter of how you're connecting. Yeah. So I'll manually send everybody.
Yeah, because I'm on my laptop, but I haven't seen anything.
I hear the bells of St. Mary ringing.
They are.
It's so windy outside and my wind chime is going crazy. Okay, I think everybody should be in a room now.
I don't see Evelyn.
Where did she go? You're in me. This is group five. For some reason, some people were in a different. Thank you.
Are we back? And we're live. That was the fastest 20 minutes I think I've ever experienced. Note to self, we probably need 30 minutes at least, right? Okay, so Desiree, are you able? Oh no, I was just going to say, did everyone make it back? But looks like we had a few.
They're still coming in, yes.
Okay.
There might be some floating in cyberspace, so.
We hope we can recover them, right? Get them back.
Okay, thank you again, Desiree, for doing that. I know there was a little bit of a snag getting us all assigned, but it worked out beautifully, and it looks like we've all reconvened seamlessly. So better you than me. I would have broken the internet if I tried. So we hope that you were able to have productive discussions in each of your breakouts. It's quite all right if you weren't able to fully make it through all five of the goals. I know our group got cut short a little bit too. It was the fastest 20 minutes. So note to self that we probably need more than 20 minutes to get through this exercise. But if we can just, reconvene and report out a summary of what you talked about, and if you could report on just one point under each of the goals, I will be taking notes just so that we can synthesize everyone's comments, and then Elaine and I will work through organizing all of that in a way that summarizes SCAC's recommendations to the Orange County Board of Supervisors on what the priorities are for the coming year. And again, this is a process. So we will put a draft before all of SCAC so that you have the time to review and approve it before it actually gets sent to the Board of Supervisors. But our timeline is that we would like this to go to a board meeting in May to coincide with Older Americans Month. That calendar worked out really well last year because in May, it's already front of mind. They're already thinking about Older Americans Month, and it's just a good time to be able to bend their ear about what's important to Orange County seniors. So we will, hopefully everyone assigned a note taker and a report out. We'll start with group number one, and then we'll just work through. I know we have a couple of people that may need to drop off and leave the meeting early. That's fine. As long as you weren't the note taker or the report out person, just feel free to cut out. I know Farah has a site visit that she needs to go to, so she's probably not going to be able to stay the whole meeting, and other people have work commitments and so forth. So we'll try and get through as much as we can. Tony, did you have a question?
Yes. Jeffrey, I left a message for you on the chat board.
Okay, thanks, Tony. All right, so we'll start with group number one, which I think was my group, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So Charlene Ashendorf was our representative, and she's going to do the report out for group one.
I will definitely try to do my best. There was so much good information, but on housing for all ages and stages, we've tried to narrow it down to identify alternative paths to a variety of housing options, whether that's shared housing or ADUs. We also, including in that, would like to consider removing any kind of obstacles or restrictions toward that end. So we know that there are some laws in different cities that make it difficult to provide shared housing and ADUs, if you will. And just to throw out two more things, we want to consider transportation options that will move our seniors, alternate transportation options to move our seniors throughout the community, and look at emergency response for residents in residential living homes and communities. Very important. So that's how you call that down, Madam Chair, And Erica, we leave that to you. Is that okay, committee? Group one? Okay. Number two, Health Reimagined. We looked very seriously at licensing, and we've come up with a recommendation. Instead of having licensing on a five-year basis, to really recommend annual community care licensing and certification to ensure high quality healthcare. And we also discussed customized transportation for our seniors to doctor's appointments, which would include an awareness or an increased marketing plan to the alternative options that we already have for transportation. Item number three, equity and inclusions, not isolation. We support urging an approach to combat ageism. We would like to recommend a follow-up on the outcome of the iPad distribution to ensure that it has been successful and to see how we can expand that program to other opportunities besides iPad distribution. We also discussed very important opportunity for volunteerism for our seniors, and would like to support a full-time volunteer coordinator for the Office on Aging that will really zero into our senior centers and faith-based organizations and get our seniors back into the volunteer workforce, if you will. Let's see. And we strongly urge that we bring together parties to raise the level of identification of abuse of our seniors. So whether that's quarterly going to the Board of Supervisors and making them aware of these situations, but bring together the parties in a community education vein. Number four, caregiving that works. Address grant opportunities that are available and accessible in our communities to support not only an increase of field workers in gerontology, but also opportunities to retain the workforce in the aging field. And finally, affording aging, I think we stopped at money. It had something to do with show us the money, but we ran out of time at that time. Erica, group one, I hope I gave you everything. I can retype it and send it to you and Elaine if you like.
Great job, Charlene, great job.
Very great job.
That was a good job.
We had a very engaged group discussion. So thank you all to group one members for your participation. Okay, group number two. Who was the report out for group number two?
I think I was, unless Meredith or anyone else wants to raise their hand. I just was happen to take notes. So
thank you, Elaine.
You're welcome. Okay, so for goal one, housing for all ages and stages, we talked about the need for more senior housing in our communities. And one thing that has slowed the development of that down is the reduced allocation of tax credits. So what we recommend is that we ask the Board of Supervisors on their legislative platform to advocate for an increase in tax credits for senior housing, because that allocation has gotten smaller. It's gone more heavily weighted towards affordable housing for workforce. So what's happening is the senior housing component is getting a little bit squeezed on that. So that's a, you know, we would advocate that the legislative platform for the county ask for that increase in tax credits. Two, Health Reimagined. There is a need for more adult daycare in Orange County and also a need for funding for respite care. And through adult daycare, that is a more economical way to provide respite care for the caregivers, because we need to be very mindful that the caregivers should not be being expended their health, because then they won't be there to take care of the seniors who need their care. So we need to get more adult daycare and more funding for respite care, and those are two very closely associated. Three, and committee, feel free to jump in if I missed a point on that. Three is inclusion and equity, not isolation. Keeping in mind two things that the Senior Citizens Engagement Committee has been focusing on is technology and also on elder abuse. So we would like to see more protection and education regarding internet fraud. Seniors are becoming more and more vulnerable with this increased sophistication of the fraudsters. So both education and then on the other end of that, protection. And I know that is within the Board of Supervisors' purview regarding anything with our Orange County deputies or a sheriff's department to provide that protection. Number four, a caregiving that works. That's just very closely related to what we said for number two. We need to have that caregiving, the respite care and the adult daycare, so that those people who are providing in-home care for family members are able to continue to do so. And for many families, that is the way they afford it. Otherwise it becomes unaffordable. And then number five, affording aging. We talked about affordable senior housing and also a standard pricing formula model for senior living or assisted living. Because when you go to the different assisted living facilities and try to compare the pricing for them, they use different models, and it's very difficult for people to compare. It's apples and oranges. Their pricing for their add-ons are different. Either it's a point system or it's a specific dollar amount. So if the county developed a standard model for pricing and the different facilities had to plug in their pricing to that to make it easier for families to compare, what is the cost going to be at facility A versus facility B? And then that also with those homes, knowing that they're going to be compared to others, that may help drive the pricing will be a little more market driven and will help lower them, we hope. But the consumers deserve a right for transparent pricing. And so if we have a standardized formula, they can still use their old one, but they need to be able to show and plug into the county's formula for that. So that, and it's hard enough when these decisions are made, most times when you're putting a family member into assisted living, that decision needs to be made right away. Unfortunately, most people don't plan for that. So it needs to be made right away. So this will help them make that. Or if it's the senior themselves making that decision, they may make it for themselves or for a spouse. And I know when I had to make that decision for my dad, I was not a senior, but so I was, I think it just increased transparency. And I'll stop rambling about that. You know what I mean? And that is it, unless my committee wants to add anything. Okay.
All right. Thank you, group number two. Okay, moving on to group number three. Who's the spokesperson for group three?
I think that's me. So our group looked at a proposal that the Health Reimagined Committee had been working on for some time that touches primarily the goal of caregiving that works, but also encompasses affording aging, health reimagined, and inclusion and equity. We all recognize the need for more respite care for people that are caring for an older adult loved one, especially if there is a dementia or some other medical frailty or vulnerability involved. So our thought was, in collaboration with the Orange Caregiver Resource Center, we would ask the county for funding for scholarships for non-medical in-home care for people for whom that modality is most appropriate, perhaps on an emergent respite basis, but then a larger amount of funding for scholarships to social model adult daycare. If people have Medi-Cal, if they have limited means and they're covered by Medi-Cal, they can get medical model adult daycare paid for. But if they don't have Medi-Cal, they can't get social daycare paid for. So if we had a scholarship pool orchestrated through the Caregiver Resource Center, who already has a process and is accustomed to receiving applications and processing them and then awarding funds, then that would be a way to open up more access to social respite adult daycare, which is among the most cost-effective mechanisms by which to provide really competent, safe, and therapeutic care for people. It's sometimes better for them to be in a social model adult daycare program than to have an aide coming into the home, because the person then gets all the activities and stimulation and socialization. So it really has a lot of merit that most people aren't aware of. We wanted to make this very culturally competent and infuse cultural humility into the process. And part of our ask would be for paid internships for gerontology and nursing types of students, especially those who speak and are culturally engaged in the threshold languages in particular demographic communities, Cambodian communities, and some of the social adult daycare programs cater to people who speak Farsi or Chinese or Spanish. So we would want to fund some internship programs to make working in these centers a little more attractive to students who need to have a practicum, but also have to have a little bit of a part-time job. And then we would want to have some funding for an awareness campaign so that via the senior centers primarily and the faith-based organizations and houses of worship, we would make sure that everybody in the county knows that this funding pool is available, how they access it, that it's easy to apply for a scholarship, and to further broaden the reach of people who would be aware that the program exists and how to access these funds. We put kind of a bigger price tag on it than the iPad tech project. Initially, we're asking for $3.5 million, which we figured was a really small impact on the county's budget annually, but it could have a very deep impact on quite a number of families. So we have a template in that the Laguna Woods Village Foundation already has a scholarship program for adult daycare that is extant and works. So we could take their criteria and use that as a template, orchestrate it through the Orange Caregiver Resource Center that already has processes in place to do exactly this kind of funding to families, and probably get things up and running very quickly once we had approval and the funding had been awarded.
Thank you, Patty.
Thank you so much, group number three. And Patty, so that one particular recommendation really covers multiple goals, right? Yeah, okay. I think because this is such a concrete recommendation with a dollar amount attached to it, it might be important for us to flesh out what that would look like in terms of the cost. Where did we come up with $3.5 million? You know, how many more adult daycare slots will that support? Do our existing adult daycare centers that offer the social model have the capacity to take on, more participants if the funding were to be available or to sponsor or scholarship them? So I think we need to talk through some of those details. And the other thing is the sustainability model. We get some limited funding from the state to support adult daycare social model slots. It's not enough to meet the need. And it definitely is one of those programs that supports not just the participant, but also the caregiver. So I don't think anyone can dispute the benefit of it. So it might be a better angle to advocate for some more state funding, since there already is a budget item that supports that, if we can demonstrate the need. With the iPad program, it was a perfect storm because the county received ARPA funds to be able to respond to the pandemic, but it was a one and done, whereas this might be an ongoing need. And so if there's not any sort of emergency funding that the board could have discretion over to the tune of $3.5 million, we want to make sure that it's sustainable too. So to include that in the recommendation. So I would be more than happy to have kind of an ad hoc work group to talk about what this would look like if we're going to include this in our recommendations.
Hey, Erica, and I'd like to add a question to that. I mean, it's a great recommendation, but I'd also want to see how much of the training can be accomplished through our community college system, since that is already in place. And I know one of the things that we discussed in our work group is that it's difficult to get into a lot of the classes for healthcare in the community colleges. There's long waiting lists. So since there's already that funding for community colleges, how do we increase what they are doing to maybe take care of some of this, the need for the training, so that the county itself doesn't have to finance the whole piece of it, but some of the training goes through community colleges. Mm-hmm. It's just a thought.
Yeah, I think it's developing the right questions to ask so that we can get to the true need. Okay, thank you, group number three. I want to move on because I know we're going to run out of time and we've got two more groups that have to do their report out. So who is the spokesperson for group number four?
Me. So again, my group, if we need to add, on number one, we want to request the supervisors to help and maybe support and include developers. In other words, tell developers, I guess they can tell, request developers to include microwaves and wired high speed internet in their buildings. Okay. In other words, hopefully we wouldn't accept their project unless they had those two. And then one other part, and we didn't get into it real long, but a suggestion to think about maybe is on home sharing, maybe we can start more of a network promotion that this is a more affordable living if we can provide more home sharing. Second issue, we came up with the respite for caregivers. So you group two and three extensively covered. So I'm not going to spend any more time on that because you guys already talked a lot on and reported on it. If that's okay with my group. I mean, I think 2 and 3 did cover quite a bit of kind of the same thing that we thought, right? And the inclusive item number 3, create a 51/50. That's like an involuntary hold, 72 hours access. The reasoning to increase a safety net for these individuals to be assessed. And I don't know if my notes include quite everything on that, but and where the 5150, I didn't get the chance.
Cynthia, I think we just want to be clear that it increases it for dementia patients.
Right. Dementia, okay. A safety net. So basically that, is that covered what we said enough on my notes? Mm-hmm. Okay. And the second part of that for dementia and stuff was a city access to an ID that is more personal. So a dementia person might have little places that they might go. So it would give people, in case they're wandering, an ability to find them easier because they have on file not just like an ID, who they are, name and thing, but some personal notes maybe that would help them find them. Number 4, we're gonna request the support from supervisors for AP5, which is one focus, provide more oral health to facilities, or another dental oral health hygiene to facilities. I think that would cover kind of what AP is about, 5 is about. And number 5 is affordable aging is support from the supervisors, again, for this legislation, AP 14, which is increasing the personal stipends from 35 to 50. If we can push this by support through giving an increase after 20 years from 35 to 50 for their personal basic needs. And I think that's it, unless anybody else has anything to clarify with. I just, they're talking points that can be addressed.
I just have a question for clarification, Cynthia. Number 3, you were talking about if a dementia patient then wanders, and to be able to have some more information on them. So the sheriff's department has the Take Me Home program. How is this different? I'm not understanding what.
Who in our group suggested this?
Because I think it was Carolyn, and I think it was just more expanding among, like, yeah, making sure it's expanded throughout all cities. And shared, and maybe it's more awareness that the program is available.
Yeah, awareness.
It was my idea at this time, because you had the speaker come, the sheriff, and then I found out that Irvine had a program, but nobody knew about it. So this idea is to expand it to more cities, that they know about it and encourage them to do it.
Okay, so you're saying not necessarily expand the program, but expand the outreach.
Awareness. Okay, right. Sorry about that. Okay.
No, it's
hard sometimes for me to take. And I don't know.
I just didn't know if we were adding something to it. I just wanted to be sure we knew what was being asked.
And Carolyn, you called it the 51/50. Was that for a reason, to designate awareness? Or was that?
No, that's different program.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the 5150 apparently right now does not apply to dementia patients. And so APS staff said it would be terrific to be able to have that kind of safety net where it, when somebody is a danger to themselves, that they could be, it's the involuntary, I hate to say restraint, involuntary hospitalization and assessment, mm-hmm, period. Mm-hmm. Can I add something now? Okay, this is last night. I hardly ever do this, but I was watching live TV. And on 60 Minutes, so this is, if you want to look it up, it was yesterday, February 6th,
season 54, episode 21, they had, the second section was called Breaking Point. And it was about, partly about the nurses and saying how, you know, difficult it's been with the COVID and how staffing has gone down and how hospitals are looking for, like, they had three hospitals in this one city and they were all looking to hire 100 nurses. But one of the things that came out is that for a long time, we've had a shortage of nurses in this country. And right now it is exacerbated by the fact that we don't have teachers. So there are all of these qualified applicants for nursing program, but they can't get the teachers to start them. Now we have people here, Carolyn, who are involved in the community colleges. And I think the Board of Supervisors actually provides some funding towards the community colleges. They're one of the inclusion goals of the Master Plan on Aging is to provide work opportunities for seniors and volunteer opportunities. And so I'm wondering if there's a way that we can kind of throw this all together where there are retired people who were teachers in the medical profession, who were nursing teachers. My cousin was a nursing teacher. This is, when you watch the program, it's a little horrifying because they talk about how this is not just a problem for the next year or two, how it is a major problem for the decades. And within 3 seconds of thinking about this, I cannot come with a specific recommendation, but I think this is important enough for us all to watch and to think about and to see if we can create enough synergy with all of these different goals to create funding for increased nursing programs.
Evelyn, I'd just like to piggyback on that, please. My daughter is a nurse, and when she went to apply to get into school, the wait list was so long everywhere. She had to go out of state finally to go to get her schooling to be a nurse. And I thought everywhere the wait list was 2-3 years. Yeah. Unbelievable.
And when you start looking at our baby boomers, you know, hitting our stride here and the decline in nursing, I think it's enough of a kind of a health catastrophe in the making.
I will look into that. But what I want to add to it, not necessarily, it's not for senior issues, but for all of us as parents or grandparents, is that before COVID, there was a dramatic shortage of regular teachers, K-12. Especially K-8, and it's getting worse. And there's a huge percentage, they've done these pretty good surveys, a huge percentage of teachers that haven't quit yet, but they've said that they're going to quit earlier than they originally intended. So we've got two groups of people that are absolutely essential for society, and people are saying, no more, can't do it. So that's just as parents, so that you know.
Yeah, and we have an organization that does have the potential to step in and fill in some of these holes with, you know, some refresher courses or mentorships or something. But, you know, there are a lot of people who are retired and have the capability mm-hmm. of these jobs.
Yeah, good idea.
Okay, thank you, Evelyn. So I don't think that we have a group 5 because the group was so small, we kind of merged it with group 4. Am I right? We don't have a report out for group 5. So that means that we've captured all of the groups' breakout discussions. And if there's anything that anyone wants to add to make sure that we include it in our notes, go ahead and speak up.
I would like to add quickly something that Dave talked about, and I don't know if it fits into our suggestions, but certainly into our overall understanding of things. And that's I've thought of this, but I'm not a professional as he is in the field. the absolute bad medicine that can occur if everybody is forced to do doctor's appointments by tele-appointments, that where they don't see the person, they don't have, you know, it's obvious what the difference would be. And that we probably need to watch out for that and see if there's something we need to suggest at some point in time.
You know, Carolyn, can I add to that too? An issue with me too has been, I had a friend that I had to help do this, transportation to doctor's appointments and medical care. It was just extraordinarily difficult. The access bus, you have to wait hours to get on the bus, to get off the bus. You know, the transportation to and from doctor's appointments for seniors is, I think, really lacking.
When I was on housing and transportation, we had a report every month of how many people had used the services, et cetera. Maybe housing and transportation can look into that and see if it's, you know, how it's doing.
Yeah. Well, the access bus was good but you had to wait for them to pick you up. And then when you got to the doctor's appointment, after the doctor's appointment, sometimes she waited 2 hours to have the bus pick her up. So, and if you go like to dialysis or procedures or something, and you're not feeling good, that's not good at all for somebody to wait that long, you know.
Jim, did you have your hand up, Jim Levy?
Yes, I did. One of my questions is, one of the recommendations is to get the Board of Supervisors to support a couple of these proposals like AP5 and AP45. I'm really concerned about what is the track record of the supervisors to actually support the different issues that we bring before them. I know at one time the different committees had the right to go directly to the legislature to make certain recommendations to support certain issues, and that was stopped 20 years ago. I'm just wondering what can be done to get these recommendations that we made pushed forward to the legislature. Question.
Well, I think it's the recommendation that the county adopted as part of their legislative platform. That's the recommendation. As you know, as you've stated, we as SCAC cannot go straight to the legislature, but there are certain items where we may want to recommend that the board adopt it as part of their legislative platform.
Hey, Elaine, can I piggyback on that and support what you just said for just a minute from a CSL perspective?
Go ahead, John.
Jim, just a clarification again, what I would hope the CSL members would be doing is taking notes, I am, and saying, wow, that's a pretty good idea. Maybe we should put that in our OC caucus conversation and see if there's something that CSL might be doing at a state level in terms of this. So first, I totally agree with what Elaine's outlined. I just wanted to provide you with an outlet in terms of where a CSL member might pursue this legislatively. So I got some pretty good ideas from the conversation I participated in and group number one. So, Erica managed to clarify some things for me around this issue of volunteerism and a conversation I'm having with C4A. So I actually got a lot out of this today in terms of what could be done at the state level as well. So hope that helps, Jim. If not, give me a call or an email and we'll continue the conversation in terms of CSL after this. Thanks very much.
I understand perfectly that this is the way in which we support these proposals. We had to go through this system because the legislation, we're no longer as a group allowed to do it. We have to go now through CSL. That's right.
Well, and I think, and it actually helps our cause for the state legislature to hear these about these items from multiple sources. Mm-hmm. So it just amplifies what we're saying. Okay, Erica, I'll turn it back to you.
That's all I have, Chair. I think I've captured the notes of all the different report outs. So like I said, what we'll do is we'll put together a draft for SCAC's review, and we will keep to our timeline of getting everything finalized and in front of the board for their agenda in May.
Okay, all right, thank you, Erica. Okay, so now we are on to item number 8 on our agenda, public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the council regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Are there any requests to speak?
We did not have any requests prior to the meeting, and there are no members of the public present this morning.
Okay, thank you, Desiree. So public comments is now closed. And on to chair items. Just new business, just to give you a status update of the membership of SCAC. Irene Martinez resigned due to increased work commitments with Meals on Wheels right now. And I don't remember if we addressed it or if I mentioned it to you at our last meeting, but Sherry Geyer resigned from SCAC due to family commitments and taking care of her husband. And I just appreciate, I mean, it was very invigorating and listening to the standing, not only the group that I was in for our discussion, but to hear the feedback from all of you. So it sounds like we are all focused on certain issues. And then there's those other issues that were touched on that just really bring a lot to the table. So thank you all for your preparation for this and for your participation. And Erica, how about item number 10 on the agenda, the Office on Aging updates?
Sure, just a few brief updates. First of all, I wanted to share with all of you, because I know SCAC is always so supportive of the Office on Aging, that we were very successful in getting new positions added to the office. So we're working on adding 6 new positions to support the Office on Aging. 3 will be manager positions, and 3 will be what we call staff specialist level, which is like Christina and Farah, those that are supporting our managers and our contracts. So this has been a long time coming. Our workload has increased exponentially because of the master plan for aging and because of the pandemic. It's a good time to be in aging services because there's some additional funding that's coming our way, but that just means that we have increased oversight and work that's coming out of the Office on Aging. So I'm extremely grateful for the support that we're going to be getting. It's not a quick process because we do have to go through the HR recruitment and all of that to fill these positions, but it's just encouraging to know that help is on the way. So we'll be sure to keep you updated as we add those new team members to our office. The other thing I wanted to say is thank you very much for those that volunteered to help us out with our request for proposals. We're in a contract cycle where we're going to be entering into new agreements effective July 1st. So we have to go through that process of awarding new contracts and going through those applications. So we have the Senior Employment Program, the Senior Medical Transportation Program. We also have a big project with the Master Plan for Aging Community Assessment, and then a smaller grant under Senior Meals. So thank you to SCAC, who are all helping on those various panels. The other thing I wanted to share just a brief update about is the iPad project. We talked about wanting to know the outcomes of how that's going. So just to share with all of you, we are almost 100% distributed out all the iPads. Every district has used up all of their slots with the exception of District 5. They have about 160 iPads left. But one of the strategies that we're working with Supervisor Bartlett's office is to now open up the cities that are under the new district boundaries of District 5. So cities or seniors that live in those cities that are now considered the new District 5 will be eligible for those iPad slots. We have about a little over 1,400 individuals that have already gone through their training with Get Set Up. They've had their individual orientation, they're up and running, and they're able to use their iPad and register for some of those online classes that Get Set Up offers. Since we implemented this program back in September, Orange County seniors have taken 830 classes through Get Set Up, which is very impressive, but we definitely want to keep promoting that opportunity because that's a free service. And Get Set Up is continuing to add instructors and new topics and new classes daily. So it's a very wonderful service. And I'm so glad to see that people are taking advantage of it. On January 26th, we had an orientation with Get Set Up, and we invited a lot of our service providers, those that are working with the senior population, to attend just so that we could continue to promote this as an available resource. And we had about 75 people attend that information session. And again, these are our messengers. They're going back out into their organizations and into their communities to promote this within the senior population. So very successful there. We will continue to work through those people that have reserved an iPad, but they just haven't completed their paperwork, or they have completed their paperwork and we just set up an appointment for them to come and pick up their iPad or arrange for direct distribution. It's a process, but we think that we're gonna wrap up in the next few weeks where all 2,200 iPads will be in the hands of seniors that have reserved one. So that's all I have. Any questions?
Well, thank you, Erica. And you're right, it was a long time coming with these new hires for the Office on Aging. We know that your plate has been overflowing for quite a while now, and sincerely appreciate all that you've done and your team has done to support the services that are provided to Orange County seniors. You've really done a stellar job with being short-staffed, and we're just so glad that your team is expanding. So thank you for that, Erica.
Thank you.
So now we are on to standing committee reports. Jean is not here, but and I know a lot was discussed in our meetings, but if any of the standing committee chairs would like to add anything, you have that opportunity. We'll start with Evelyn for Senior Citizens Engagement.
Hi, I just wanted to talk about the speakers that we have coming up. And I'm actually going to be sending an email to Barbara and to Sandy asking to find out who they're also going to have speaking at their meetings, because I hear sometimes from Jean, oh, there was this fabulous discussion at such and such a meeting. And I'm like, oh, I wish I had known about that in advance. So on our next meeting, February 14th, again, Valentine's Day, we are going to have this fabulous person you may have heard of, Patty Mouton, talk to us about Alzheimer's OC. And specifically, our focus is on elder abuse. And we're hoping that we're going to hear a little bit that will help give us some direction on recommendations that we can make for next year. On March 21st, we have the Ombudsman Program speaker. And these are people who are volunteers, I believe. This is my first go around on this. And basically speak up for residents in assisted living or any kind of residential living program who pursue issues and problems for them. So this is all brand new for our committee, and we're looking forward to hearing about that. And then there was some discussion before this meeting started, and also from John during the meeting, about fraud. And on April 18th, we will have Sergeant Vogel talk to us about fraud and specifically how it is being targeted and dealt with by seniors. So we hope that you will attend some or all of these, just to hear our speakers. You don't have to sit through the rest of us. We've had a great participation, excuse me, this year. This is a brand new focus for us. We were the legislative committee, and we're still kind of struggling with getting our a firm understanding of some of the new issues that we have. But this meeting today was really exciting, and thank you everybody for putting it together. And lastly, I want to give a shout out to Desiree, who has been a fantastic support to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Evelyn. Next, Barbara, did you want to add anything? Is Barbara still here? Oh, she's running to her computer. Okay, you're on mute. You're muted, Barbara.
It's one of those days. our committee, we focused on our presentation for today, and Meredith, I need you to help me. Terry Keene is going to be our speaker at our next meeting. And I'm having a senior moment because I didn't write down Terry's organization. Can you unmute? Do you?
I believe that she's talking about Parkinson's support, if I recall correctly.
Yes.
Yeah. Carrie's with PEP for You, which is Parkinson's Education Program for You.
Right. And so that
exercise
is.
Exercise program, rather.
Yes. And that will be our February program. And then the March program, Patty is going to be talking about when it. To quote Patty, when it's time to go, end of life. And you want to unmute yourself, Patty?
We're going to have a presentation of Are You Good to Go? So just in case.
Right. Yes. And sorry, folks, that I was not prepared to speak today, but that's what we have going for the next 2 months.
Okay, thank you, Barbara. Sandy, did you want to add anything about your standing committee?
Just real quickly, we had a follow-up to a really good presentation about a senior assisted living memory care facility that was proposed for Anaheim Hills, and the city council voted it down. So Elizabeth had a very good idea. Let's hear why it was voted down. And there were, the community was very opposed to it. And it was an empty church that had been sitting on a lot for 10 years, and it would be a perfect facility. And Anaheim Hills, excuse me, does not have any senior housing. And so the speaker, of course, was quite upset. They put a lot of time and effort into this, the developer. But it came down, the community just did not want anything in that building. And they came up with some crazy ideas that people with memory care would start floating around the community and doing crazy things, which I don't know where they would get those ideas. But anyway, it was a good follow-up for us. And the other thing I just wanted to point out, this was his opinion now. He felt that they didn't want this, so they put it at the end of the city council meeting, and it came time for this to be voted on at about 10 p.m. And so the seniors that were in favor of it, of course, left because it was getting too late for them. So just throwing that out there, and that is his opinion. But I just want to be aware of that.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Sandy.
No problem.
Okay. Moving on to senior center liaisons. Is Cynthia still on? I don't see Cynthia. So you all recently received the senior center liaison rosters. Please take a look at that. Your centers may have changed. And if you have any questions, let Cynthia know. She'll be happy to help you make contact if that's a challenge. So for our next meeting, we will be sending out the meeting invitation to the general public. This meeting, because it was our workshop, we didn't do that. but that is something you can share with your senior centers. Item 13, announcement by SCAC members. Does anyone have an announcement? I'll let you know that in Laguna Niguel, we're doing Savvy Senior Seminars. They're for seniors, pre-seniors, and the adult children of seniors. So the next one coming up is March 9th at 5:30. And we're going to be talking about Medicare fraud. And the fraudsters are getting more and more sophisticated. So actually, Miki Nakazawa, it will be our speaker. And if you are in the Laguna Niguel area, you are more than welcome to attend. So we look forward to seeing some of you there. Anyone else have an announcement for today's meeting? Charlene.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, this is my first rodeo for this workshop, and my head is exploding. It was so exciting. I'm really privileged to be here. But I did want to share that on January 24th, our supervisor Foley convened a meeting with all of her appointees to commissions, councils, and committees. And so there were approximately 20 in attendance. We got to hear from each of the committees, and I was able to share some of the things we have been discussing and with her and with her committee. With the committee about the programs for seniors. So she will be convening those kinds of meetings quarterly. And she shared updates on the senior meal program, the grant program for $20,000 that closes at the end of today. And I also wanted to share that I did attend the California Master Plan for Aging update Zoom. And I was just astonished at 123 initiatives and the process and where we are today. So thank you very much for letting me share how excited it is to be a part of this group.
Good. I'm glad you're feeling that excitement. It is. We can do a lot. Any other announcements? I don't see any hands going up. So just a reminder, our next SCAC meeting will be Spotlight on Nutrition on March 11th at 9:30. And on your roster, you will see the upcoming standing committee meetings. We will have, because we had to hold this meeting a few days earlier, we will have to have another Zoom meeting just to get to our next SCAC meeting via Zoom. So we call those our special AB 361 meetings. I don't know that we have a date yet, but it will be before March 11th. Erica or Desiree, do we have a date for that yet?
I haven't seen that confirmed yet. I know it has to be after February 16th and before March 11th. So just keep an eye on your email, and it'll be a very quick meeting because we just have that one action item.
Yeah. So, but we do need you to attend because we need a quorum for that so we can vote, or else we need to go back to in person. So, okay. Anything else before I adjourn the meeting? Well, thank you all for your participation. This is why we are SCAC. This is the bulk of our work. What we accomplished today and what we'll be doing at the next couple of meetings is to advocate and provide information to the Board of Supervisors. That's why they have SCAC. So that's what we're doing today. And again, thank you, and have a wonderful next couple of weeks until we see each other again. And this meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you.